Hi, I'm George.
I'm Dan.
I'm Rick.
And we are Queer Magnolias,
the podcast.
Each episode, we're going to talk about what it was like growing up gay in the South.
The trials and the tribulations.
The joy and the struggle.
And more importantly, how we became who we are today.
Oh, honey, queer and fabulous.
So come on in, y'all, and get comfortable, Shug.
Kick off your shoes and sit a spell.
And at the end of each episode, we're going to meet up out on the front porch for my favorite part of the podcast,
Happy Hour.
So join us for an all-you-can-eat buffet of cutting up,
foolishness, and carrying on.
Always served with a heaping helping of sass.
And that's a Queer Magnolias guarantee.
All right, here we go.
Let's rock it and roll it.
Hi, Magnolias.
Hello.
Hi.
George, you need to button your blouse, sweetie. This is a respectable show.
It is sumpter time. This is never going to happen.
I mean, I'm sweating under my titties. It's hot.
See?
Well, I am so happy to be recording this episode because it's so last minute, but fresh off last week's episode.
Yes.
Which was apparently a hit with you lot.
It had better been.
Allegedly. Allegedly. I'll bring it back. Allegedly.
Right. We're going to follow up that conversation of let's talk about sex with a conversation instead about love.
What's that?
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more.
Right. We're going to try to answer that question.
Girl, that is the age-old question.
What is love, baby? What is love?
All right. Well, then, all right. Let's start this off. I have a question.
Bring it on.
Have any of y'all ever actually been in love?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Oh, Rick
I'll go.
Yes.
I'll go. Yes, I have. I have.
Daniel?
I love my hand.
Oh,
yes. I mean, I've been in love, but I'm not sure they were in love with me.
Oh, honey, unrequited is a whole other thing.
That's an episode unto itself.
Unto.
Trust me.
I have some unrequited as well that we could talk about.
I'm never.
They don't know it.
Oh, that's a different thing. Oh, that's called stalking, darling.
Stalking, exactly.
Still stalking.
You beat me to the punch, honey.
I see.
Well, George, I know you've been a serial marriage person, so you know, I assume you might have been in love at some point as well.
So here's what I feel about love, and I don't know if this is popular, unpopular, or just me, but I feel like every time you're in love, it's different. Every single person that I've ever been in love with, it's never felt the same. It's always been different. It's always been unique to the circumstance. And for many of those people, I still love them, but that love has grown and it's changed.
Okay. Well, isn't love sort of like a fingerprint? Everyone's different, right?
I mean, well, a fingerprint never changes.
Well, that's a good point.
That's a good point. But I think what Danny's trying to say is that every fingerprint is different.
Yeah, and there you go. Unique. So I'll get it out eventually.
But I actually will say this. I think the initial state, for me anyway, I can only speak for me. For me, the initial stages of always falling in love are very similar with every relationship.
Oh, do they always involve wrestling in the parking lot?
Wrestling in the parking lot, deciding on who's going to wear the glove tonight, you know, all of those conversations and things that you fight over.
Yes.
In the beginnings, in the fruits of love, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get through those initial stages of falling in love, being in love has been a different experience in the relationships that I've had. And I feel like I've had two major relationships where I feel like I've been with a soulmate. I hate to say my one and only soulmate, but I've been with someone that I was connected with at a level that, you know, transcends just enjoying one another's company. I'll say it like that. I don't want to get too metaphysical about it, but still.
That seemed awfully deep, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe Rick will circle back around to that later on and explain the water. Exactly what it's, that meant.
There's something in the water, honey.
Ranch water, vodka. Honey.
Yeah. There's something in the water and it's vodka.
Right? It's mule water.
So, Lloyd, let's talk about that because I feel like that is so important because I feel like when you actually first fall in love, like those initial steps, I feel like that is what we all look for. That is what we all learn from like Disney, like soap operas and storybooks. Like that is it. That's like that. Oh my God, my heart only beats for him. Like that's.
It's what we're addicted to, right? It's because of all the endorphins that come with that. The feel good of it all that makes you think this is the height of it. And then once that goes away for a lot of people, I think after a few weeks when that goes away, they're like, oh, I don't want to see you anymore. I'm on to the next one. You
know? I want that again.
Yeah.
Well, like that's usually
me chasing the dragon.
That's usually me after the first date. Honey. I mean, it's sort of downhill.
You do age at a rather rapid progression, honey.
She got a shelf life sort of the little Debbie, honey.
It's Big Debbie over here. Trust me, baby. Trust
and believe, honey.
Yeah. Creamy in the center.
Moist as a snack cake.
I was going to say, right? Creamy in the center, mold on the edges, honey.
Right, shut up. I knocked that mold off this morning. Knock it off.
Ew.
So, I agree with you because I do think that there is that excitement about the unknown.
The new man
of it all. And the new situation. And as you say, you know, each person is different. So you've got to discover what that new is about someone else.
Yeah.
I think that is the beautiful part of love. And I do think the work part of love is trying to figure out how to keep that magic alive.
And for me, it was always like, how am I going to make this motherfucker pay for dinner tonight?
So I wonder if that's the difference. I wonder if what love, quote unquote, what we all think of as love is that like initial attraction, that like that instant, like the hearts around your eyes and like all those things that we're taught to believe. And then it becomes like a relationship, which is different.
It is different, isn't it? I think that once you move past just, you know, the flirting and the dating phase, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, here we are with this. And then it becomes a lot more different. It becomes a responsibility.
The bill comes due.
Baby, honey, somebody's going to pay the rent. That rent ain't paying itself, I'm telling
ain't
you.
Ain't nothing going on but the rent.
Damn right.
Well, and I will say that there is that moment, and I might have told this in the last episode, but I remember Della Reese saying one time that there is this time where you get to the magic where you might utter, I love you. And what you really meant to say was, motherfucker, I love what you're doing for me right this minute. But, you know, sometimes we forget some of all those other words and we slip into, I love you. And so let's talk about what happens when you utter that word. Have you ever wanted to take it back, or do you feel like it changes the dynamic of the conversation?
Well, it definitely changes. Go ahead.
And I think for me, that totally depends on the age that I've said it. Because when you're 22, you believe every minute of it.
Yes, of course.
When you're 42, not so much.
Well, this is true. So, and I think, I don't know. I'm going to try and articulate this. It's just sort of formulating in my brain at the moment. But when you're younger, at least for me, growing up in the South, growing up where I did, the only sort of pictures of a perfect relationship that I had access to were in soap operas. So I equate the soap opera super couple of, say, Bo and Hope or Cruz and Eden from Santa Barbara or any of these super couples that you know from the soap operas as being, this is the ideal of love. This is what you aspire to, right? And so I, in the early days of my young queerness, I would go into relationships expecting that and would be disappointed every time I turned a corner and was like, I wasn't getting that moment, right? I wasn't getting any of that. And it set me up to fail. And I didn't really fall in love with anybody. I wasn't one to always say, I'm in love. As I've gotten older, I've come to appreciate that's not true. That's the Hollywood story of what love is. And I've come to appreciate people and relationships for what they are. And I found that in the early days of growing up, I was very hesitant to say I'm in love. But as I've gotten older, I get there much quicker. Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm, I feel like I'm saying the opposite of what you said, but yeah.
No, but I think it does. It makes sense to me. I mean, I think sometimes it's like one of those things where it's like, for me, I want to help it along. I want to push it. You know, let's get to that place sooner.
Sure, of course.
But then I typically am a little bit, well, actually, I'm typically very afraid. So for me, if I've said I love you, it's often been, I love what you're doing for me, or I love the idea of love. Because I don't really think, it's something we talked about in last week's episode, I don't really trust so many people. I've learned that, you know, for me, I have a hard time. I love my friends. I love my family. But the idea of being in love and being committed is very difficult for me.
So piggybacking on what you said, Rick, I feel like as you've gotten older, love becomes more realistic. Because yes. I remember so well being like 15 or 16 or whatever. Yeah, 15, 16, 14. And buying like bridal magazines because I was so in love with the idea of romance.
Yes.
But also at the same time, knowing this was never going to happen for me. Marriage was never a thing. Like this is not yours, but loving it so much. But this is me being the eternal Charlotte before Charlotte was a thing.
Well, right. Like, you're aspiring to be.
I was aspiring to things that I knew in my heart of hearts were never going to happen. So even though I knew realistically, okay, you're never going to walk down the aisle in a white dress, realistically.
Well, you might.
Girl.
Today you might.
I ain't dead. Here's the thing, like, I feel like that's where a lot of it came from me because, you know, like, unlike you, Rick, like, my relationship goals were based more in, like, film than in soap opera. Like, I remember, like, being so attracted to the way that, like, Sid and Nancy looked at each other. They were like Dracula looked at Mina, or like even Beetle just looked at Lydia. Like there were things that like, I was like, oh, these are my ideal relationships because it's regardless of what the media is, it's still that eternal love that like, eternal love that like spans oceans of time.
Lord, honey, she has set the bar. No one is going to reach this level.
Well, but you know, though, I do think that what happens is we look for something that we can identify with, something that appeals to us. It doesn't have to be the norm of Hollywood. We are pushed by, you know, the media, whether it's magazines or movies or TV shows or even our friends. Who pushed this idea of we must be in a couple, we must be in a relationship. Oh. And that's something that is so frustrating because, you know, that old saying, oh, there's somebody for everyone. Uh-huh. Well, what if there isn't?
There's lock. Seriously. There's a key for every lock, right. Honey.
No, that's bullshit. I hate
when you haven't seen somebody for quite some amount of time. And the very first one or two questions they ask you, what's going on? Who are you dating?
Right?
Fuck you for rubbing it in.
A Republican senator.
Exactly. Right? He voted against everything you are right now. That's who I'm dating, you fucking asshole.
But also, though, I find that it's not only it's gay and straight people, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
It's like, but I also think, sadly, sometimes people ask us that because. Perhaps they're not happy where they are, and they hope you are, or they hope you're as miserable as they are, which, I mean, it's hard to know which it is.
Girl, I should qualify it, though. I don't think they do it out of malice. I think it's just out of habit, honestly. Except maybe you, Danny. You look like you fucking do shit out of malice, period. But I think it's out of habit, but we've gotten in this habit where the first questions we ask is, who are you dating and what's going on? It's like the old adage of, you know, the mother-daughter relationship, or when are you getting married? You know, and those questions. I think it's a way to be conversational. At least that's how it always felt to me. But it's always kind of this stabbing right in, under my left rib somewhere where it's like, you know,
do you have
you're
to
not
lift
in
up
a
your,
relationship,
do you have to lift up?
Yeah.
Do you have to lift up
your hey, quiet, for them quiet, to quiet.
So but here's what do you think about that?
So here's what I think. I think part of that's very Southern.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you go home, they're always like, I'm in your business because I got shit in my life. So tell me what's going on in yours.
Right.
Because you go home as a gay from California, you are a celebrity.
Well, exactly. You are the news, honey. You are living the life. We need to know what's happening. We're living vicariously.
Y'all got a different family than I do. They're like, honey, bring you down a peg. Bring you down a peg or two. No.
Well,
not always.
Your family's living right there at the foot of the cross, honey.
Honey, right, right at the foot.
Get off the cross. We need the wood.
We need the wood. I mean, I feel like that might open up the conversation to like, so how much, God, this is hard because I know we talked about sex last issue, but like sex and love, like it doesn't always go hand in hand.
Oh no.
But for a gay man, like I feel like it rears its ugly head, no pun intended.
Woo-hoo.
So, well, if it's an ugly head, it's going to require some love.
Listen,
that's some all special I got handling.
All right, so now
are those blisters? I'm not into this.
Are you just happy to see me? Are you just oozing to see me?
Rib for her pleasure, honey.
Y'all are disgusting. All right, so now
God's
I'm going to put y'all right on the line. Rick will probably edit.
I thought he was going to say, I'm going to put you on mute.
Blast, honey.
No, so that's a big thing with me. I have been busy in my sexual life, and a lot of times it really is something I simply want the intimacy, not the sex or the person. But intimacy, you know, you can't really buy intimacy. Well, I mean, I guess you can, but still, you know, it's fun to be. So at what point, since the two of you have been in relationships, at what point do you say, this bores the fuck out of me? Or do you guys ever get to that point? I mean, a lot of people bore me, but.
So go ahead, George. I'll let you talk first.
Well, okay. I'm glad you let me talk first because I'm going to come up with a very unpopular opinion.
Okay, bring it.
I have spent the last 30 years of my life, depending how old I tell you I am, 30 to 20 years of my life.
All right.
Being in, looking for, keeping, seeking, negotiating relationships. And I am at this point where I am single, a year in now, and I am so happy to be single. I have no interest in seeking, wanting, looking at, negotiating, thinking about another relationship for any foreseeable time in the future. I love the fact that if I wash the dishes and I walk away from the kitchen sink, when I come back 30 minutes later, there's not a glass sitting in the sink.
I can relate to that so much. I love it. I love it. I love it.
I love how George skirted my question, but go ahead, hon. I do love that.
I was going to respond to the opposite of his question.
Go on.
In that, for me, having spent a large part of my life in relationship, long-term relationships, I have actually spent the last 12 years or so, maybe, not in a relationship and just being single and living the single life and loving every goddamn minute of it. But what I've found in that 12 years is that when it comes to sex, I'm very limited in what I'm willing to do with someone that I've met for the first time. I know it's shocking. I could see the look on your face.
Oh, I have no words for what you just said. Like, no,
well,
I'm like,
so
but
no,
I mean, what I have found is that if I'm in a relation, not, I don't want to say relationship, like, you know, 10-year relationship, but if I'm with someone that I
trusting
and we built a relationship together, I'm willing to go a lot further and try things that would be outside of my normal threshold. Now, the threat, I saw that, George.
Yeah,
I saw that.
The threshold.
The threshold I won't talk about in this episode, but what I'm talking about, there is a line that I'll go up to with someone that I don't know that well.
And I hear you because that's about trust.
Right, exactly.
It is. It is indeed. It really is.
But you're right. George did not answer your question about intimacy.
Well, neither did you, but about it's dishes, okay.
I'm sorry. What was the question?
Yeah, I don't remember anymore, honey. I drink. So it doesn't. So, but, you know, I will celebrate the fact that the three of us are single. And I
ready to mingle, honey.
Well, I've been single a long time, like most of my life. And I don't mind it. You know, as I said earlier, I hate that there's somebody for everyone because I am enough for myself. Mm-hmm. Now, if someone else wants to come into my life and I want them to come into my life and we can make a go of it, that's magnificent. But I am happy and willing to do my life on my own if that's what's necessary.
I love that you said that because I actually feel the same way. I feel that, you know, it took this 12 years of me actively deciding at the end of the relationship. It was like, do I want to try and be in another relationship or what do I want with this life? And I actively chose, no, I want to be single. I don't know how long that's going to last, but I need to see what life being single is about. And what I came to find, much like what you just said, Danny, is that I have found that I am enough. I am happy being with just me. And I think that's going to change the next relationship that I get into and how that all develops and all of that.
Because, girl, here's the thing about that. That statement right there, I am enough, that doesn't happen at 17.
No.
No.
That doesn't happen at 21. No. You know what I mean? Like, that's when you're, like, searching for someone to make you complete. Like, if I'm in a relationship, if I'm in love, this will fix me. This right. will fix things.
Yes, and we, the three of us, four of us know so much about each other that it is one of those things that what we grow up with does inform who we are as far as looking for love. It's not the only thing, but it is a lot of it. I mean, if you grow up lacking something or you have too much of something, it informs the people that you want to hang around with, you want to date. Sometimes it's like, this is the only fucked up thing I know. So I must replace this. I've said so often in life, you know, I would say, well, honey, you don't want to live with me because I become my mother. And you know what? I do. I don't give a
she
shit.
She stayed with me for 3 weeks, honey, and she's lucky to get out alive at 3 weeks. So I was like, I'm going to kill this bitch. I'll kill her. I mean, you ain't going to find her. She's going to be buried in the basement.
And it's not that we don't love, you know, who we are or where we're from. It's just that it has taken me a many year to try to figure out that I don't have to repeat my mom or my dad or my family situation.
Okay, so I'm so happy you said that because I've been thinking this the entire time but haven't chimed it in. Every single one of the people at this conversation, in this conversation, in this podcast, comes from we are all children of divorce.
Yes.
Yep.
So what are our role models for love in the real world? What are we thinking this is the idea of, like, what relationships should be? Because I'm going to tell you this, I look back at my grandparents as a child, but today I feel like y'all just didn't get divorced because you couldn't. It was it was the age that you couldn't get a divorce. Like, maybe they wouldn't have, I don't know, but it wasn't even an option.
So I think I answered that for who my role models were when I was, like, you know, very young, 15, 16, 17. And
yes,
coming
yes.
up and all that.
Had, so
my role models now, I look at couples, and especially, I say this but with a little bit of levity, but celebrity couples who you have insight to their lifestyle, the couples that don't choose to get married, but, you know, like, I have been together for a long period of time just because they enjoy being around one another, but they don't want that bond or bind, as it may be, of matrimony. And they just enjoy being in one another's presence for a long time.
I want to
interrupt like
you
that as well.
I want to interrupt you because I feel like you missed the keyword. I said in the real world.
Right?
Not celebrities, not magazines, not soap operas. Who in your real world?
I didn't
world...
say movie couples. I didn't say soap opera couples. I said celebrity couples who've chosen not to get married, but instead just want to be together.
I mean, I guess, I'm still waiting on Brad Pitt,
and
really.
Again, and it, But no, I say that because you have more insight to that. But I actually do have friends who have chosen not to get married and have chosen to be together and not do the bond. Every gay man and their boyfriend from here to eternity has gotten married since gay marriage became legal. It feels like
they could.
And I appreciate that. And I'm there for it.
Which is a huge thing.
I've been in how many weddings to celebrate all of that. I love it. I love it. I love it. But it's not for me. I don't want to get married. At least right now in my life, I don't.
I cannot imagine Rick walking to a room, coming home from work, walking to an apartment where someone, his partner, has set the thermostat to 72.
Oh, honey, right? Somebody will die. Somebody will die. Somebody is going to die tonight.
Okay, so when we started this, there was a little phraseology of, what's your ideal? Honey, I need to live in an igloo if I'm going to sleep next to somebody. It's so funny. I dated this guy.
My ideal is 69 degrees. It better not be above that fucking degree. And no dishes in the sink. I'm with George right? on this one. Not a dish right? in the sink.
Amen, honey.
As long as they're mine and I live alone, I don't give a damn. But if I'm living with somebody else, I don't want to see yours at all. I did date a guy one time that he said to me one evening we were going to bed, he said, does it always have to be so cold in here? And I said to him, yes, because baby, you're so hot. Uh-huh. But the truth of the matter, so it was a
and
joke.
And he bought it, didn't he? He just went
No, sadly, it didn't translate well. But
oh, there was a language barrier, girl.
Was that Moises?
No, a different one, honey. There's been more than one of those.
She didn't have Google Translate back then.
the thing is, so if I'm going to lay next to somebody and they're hot, I need the fucking room to be cold.
She's going
to
lay with someone, honey.
Define hot. Define hot.
More than 98.6.
And not dead.
Warm. Oh, all right. You're talking about temperature-wise. Got it.
Rick, I do need a pulse. It's important that they have a pulse. I don't want them dead.
Yeah, she don't have that garden tub anymore to cool them down.
Keep them alive for a few days.
Pack them with ice, honey.
Pickle them, baby. Pickle them. Like
one pulse every 35 seconds is still a pulse.
Well, that's true, honey.
Or it's about that fire in the loin, honey. The kindling down below.
I mean, when it comes down to it, isn't kind of all about the fire in the loin?
As opposed to
the fire in the heart.
Sure.
Yeah, but you know, at this age, I'm worried about it being a yeast infection. You know,
she got issue.
At this age, she's trying to decide if it was the tacos she had the night before. Like, what's happening? What is happening? What is happening?
Two words: sour dough.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But you know, though, sometimes, I mean, do the two of you feel like that sometimes it burns hot and fast, or it's long term?
I've had those relationships that do burn hot and fast, and they're fun, and they're fun for a minute. And what I love about it is they never. I feel like this is actually probably more of the sex episode, not the love episode. But
I don't know. I don't know if that's true, Rick, because sometimes you feel like this is the one, but then but it's not.
No, not for me. I mean, I've had the fun,
fighting in the parking lot.
Yeah.
For the words, I've had the hot and fast. And when it's over, what I've loved about it is that we both knew it was over. Okay. We've had our moment in the sun. It is time to move on. And that's been quite lovely. It's been easy. It's been nice. Then there have been those ones that were like, I might have to call somebody to get you out of my house.
I have met boys with an S, plural, that I thought, oh, you're young, you're naive. You're like, oh, well, this is like, oh, this could be whatever I've been looking for. But then you realize like, no, this is the hot and fast. But it's amazing why it lasts. And it doesn't last. It lasts a season.
Yeah.
To get very Tennessee Williams about it. One season.
Yes.
And it is never to be repeated.
Yeah, that was my Croatian that I had for a hot little minute, or a season, if you will. Oh my God, I was head over heels crazy for that motherfucker. Kind of like
you mean heels over head.
Girl. Say it again for people in the back.
Heels over head, honey.
Oh,
Come on.
I'm so sorry. It's going to have to get edited out.
True.
I will say, much like my little Thomas Doherty, That little Croatian, I would commit crimes for, honey. Just, damn. I would commit crimes for him. Oh, Lord. So maybe you're onto something, George.
I usually am.
That is true. So one of the things I do find, sadly for me, or silly me, I think I'll just say, you know, I'm always, I love it when lightning strikes. Person that's
okay,
like,
okay, Sweet Home Alabama.
Yes.
I'm
the person that's like, well, you know, last Friday it was hitting and sticking like Popeye's chicken. Oh, you Lord, think it'll be again this Friday. And that has almost always turned out to be, no, bitch, that was a one-time thing. Uh-huh. Because it's like the Bible, honey. You gotta refer back to the Bible every
now and then. Oh, she went to the Bible.
Oh, Lord, no, we're not doing that in this
episode,
we are.
No, honey. And the fifth dimension.
No, let's go back to Tennessee Williams, honey. For everything, there is a season.
That's the Bible and the fifth dimension. Stop it now.
Well, so I will say this about Tennessee Williams. If it don't work, just like Montgomery Cliff and Shelley Winters and Sunny Last Summer, hit her over the head and dump her in the lake. You're done.
Oh, there've been quite a few I wanted to hit over the head and push out the car. Push out the car.
This ain't a working.
Right. Whether it was from the front seat or the back seat, get out of my car.
I will say this. Going off of For Everything There Is a Season, for the good stuff, there's also the bad stuff. And sometimes
The
only way out is through. And
oh, girl.
Say.
Yeah, that's the
preach.
That's the truth. Look at Rick wanting to be all Bible now.
Coming through with some deep shit.
I just broke out in pox.
Oh, Lord.
So shall we go around the room and offer a little bit of advice for those, for the lovelorn out there? What's your...
I should not go first.
I'm thinking the same thing. I'm like, what do I have to, what do I know?
Let's try it. Go for
it. Oh, all right. I've decided I'll start. Honesty. If you don't bring something honest to the equation, it's not going to work out. Honesty, let's say, should start with yourself. You have to know what you're capable of bringing and want to bring to the table. A lot of the reason I've been single the majority of my life is because I was honest and I knew I didn't have anything to bring to the table that I was willing to share at the moment. Mm. Doesn't mean I don't have lots of great things. I just wasn't willing to share at that moment. That's been difficult. It's something I realize about myself, and it's something I'm working on.
I'll add to that with communication, which I think is sort of right in line with what you're saying. You can't be honest if you can't talk to each other. And one of the hardest things to do is to be to have a conversation with someone and be honest about your feelings, because so much of it is caught up in, I don't want to hurt this person, I don't want to offend this person, is what I'm going to say going to make them mad? Or if I say this, I want to make them mad, so let me say it this way. I mean, there's also that aspect of it as well. But you need to be able to know how to talk to one another. Mm-hmm. And some relationships I've been in the past that have failed spectacularly.
Yay, throw a parade.
Was from a lack of communication and dishonesty.
Yeah. Mm. And I think my advice would be to know yourself first, to love yourself before you get into a relationship. You can't think that going into a relationship and having someone else love you is going to make up for the fact that you don't love you.
Right.
What does RuPaul say?
Exactly.
Well, I think everybody at the table thought that instantly. And I will tell you, for many years, that has grated on my last nerve. But she's right.
Yeah, it's 100% right. It's a cliche, but it's
a cliche for a reason.
Exactly. Yes, precisely, because that's where they come from.
Well, I think forgiveness is extremely important.
Oh, look at Jake bringing up the rear with the big word, the big F word.
And I'm not saying that, you know, you're willing just to forgive anybody for anything, but just having that open heart and open mind to forgive, you're going to be able to love even more. Because then at that point, you're not worried about what someone's going to do. You're just worried about, how are we going to get over this? How am I going to forgive this person? How are we going to move on? How are we going to move forward? And then it ties in with communication, and it ties in with, what did you say before?
Honesty,
and then loving yourself, you know? I think that once you can do all of that, then and you can forgive, then you're on the right track.
I think that if it doesn't work out, you turn off the credit cards too. Just
well, there you go. You heard it from the Magnolias, honey. That's how you get through this fucking thing called love.
Well, okay, Mr. Rick, we're not getting through this thing called love. We're embracing this thing called love.
We're not.
We're not.
Yes, but you know what, though? So we have to, because I think here again, it's what we're bringing to the table. And forgiving ourselves or loving ourselves enough to stay single, maybe try again, whatever that is. I mean, it's all about the love.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you did say something about credit cards, and it made me think about how many people out there love... where love is money or being bought something.
Yes, yeah.
It can lead to such a idea.
Well, love. And I should say, and I do want to be, so most everybody at the table knows, and I'm not going very deep into the story, the cutting off the credit cards isn't cutting off someone else's credit cards. It's turning my spending for someone else off. Let's be real clear. That
I didn't get that.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, yeah.
But now that you've said it, it makes perfect fucking sense.
I should clarify this. So, yes, it's my ability to spend money trying to attract what I want, and that never works because there's always someone to help you spend your money.
And see, I'm exactly the opposite that way in that regard. Once I'm with someone that I want to be with, I will drop all kinds of cash. But I'm not going to do that in the beginning because that's not what I want the basis of our relationship to be about. And so I'm very standoffish about anybody that says, oh, you should take me here. You should take me there.
Oh, yeah. Please.
Like, right. Yeah, that's not going to happen, baby. Nope.
But it could easily be, I mean, a way of communicating with love. Spending money on someone.
Oh, sure. Gets the love language.
I can totally see it. Yep.
Such a great feeling.
They will love me if I buy enough. So. But then, you know, so I do want to say that when I first moved to Miami, did anybody remember when I moved there? So,
88 to 99.
There you go. So when I got there, I had way underestimated how much it might cost me to live. And I made it on cookies and
We've all been there. For me, coming to L.A. was the same thing. I did not anticipate the cost of living in L.A.
But I will.
That was a rude awakening.
It was. But I will say that lovingly and kindly, the universe sent me some new friends who I didn't take advantage of, but who also saw that it was difficult for me, and they picked up the tab occasionally or did nice things for me. And I tried to repay that, but somewhere along the line, I might have lost the sight of the goal line. So I'm getting better at that as well.
And I've always depended on the kindness of strangers.
See? Somebody's got to do it.
All right.
Well, everyone, thanks for tuning in and listening. And if you want to know the meaning of love, find us.
The power of love. That's Celine Dion. Oh, I don't have that one queued up. God damn it. Lord.
But I was quoting the Depeche Mode. Hello. Okay. Thanks for listening. And if you want to know the meaning of love, find us at Queer Magnolias on Twitter and at Queer Magnolias Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. We would love to hear your comments and feedback. You can listen to us on Spotify, iHeart, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else you might find your podcast.
And show the love by telling your friends and family members to listen to us.
It's true. Not every episode is going to be glee like this one was.
And I'm just going to leave you with one thought. If it ain't spit, it ain't love.
Well, now go ahead. Tell the truth, Ruth. Shame the devil.
All right. See y'all next week.
XOXO. Bye.